Before today was Groundhog's Day, before it was the presentation of our Lord, before it was the presentation of our Lord and the purification of Mary, it was hypapante, which is Greek for meeting. And it refers to the meeting of our Lord and Simeon. Hypapante was observed in the Jerusalem church already in 380 AD. This meeting takes place in the shadow of the cross. Shadow of the Cross is the title of the painting I've used for the bulletin cover. It's an 1873 painting by Holloman Hunt. The color version is, of course, more vivid, and it's worth the Googling. It's a tableau. Mary is pictured going through the marvelous treasure given the Christ child by the Magi. But she turns and she sees the shadow of the crucified Jesus displayed on the wall, a stark contrast from all that worldly wealth. The shadow is cast by a young Jesus working as a carpenter. See the tools of his trade to the right? Jesus is stretching after having sawn wood, and his shadow falls on the horizontal piece of wood where his tools hang, which looks like the beam of the cross from which he will hang. He's in the prime of manly life, but that shadow casts a pall. And even though we can't see Mary's face, we feel her shudder. Originally, this festival was called simply Meeting because it celebrated Simeon and baby Jesus meeting. But the backstory is where you see the shadow. We know that this is 40 days after Christmas, hence February 2nd, because that's when a mother having given birth was mandated to go to the temple to be purified. The presentation of the firstborn son had no mandated time frame. That was when 5 shekels were paid to redeem his life from destruction. Mary and Joseph decided to do the two things on the same trip. The presentation is front and center in this festival, the purification, that's the shadow. Mary gives birth to a holy child, yet she had to be purified as if she had given birth to a sinful one. So human was her gestation, labor, and delivery. So much so was Jesus in our place. Doesn't 2 Corinthians 5:21 say bluntly that God the Father made the Son to be sin for our sake? So don't go all feminist here thinking, well, see, the Old Testament is sexist. It thinks of femininity as evil in itself. No, a woman is the font of life, and that life is now fallen because of Adam's sin. And so she must be purified because every birth of sinful life defiles her. Giving birth to a daughter did so doubly. The shadow of the cross is indicated because even though she has been told by the angel that she will give birth to the Holy One, the Son of God, she still has been defiled. And then Simeon deepens the shadow. Her son will be the cause, not just of the rise of many, but the fall too. And so he's going to be a sign to be spoken against. And on top of all that, a sword, the word for the great Roman broadsword, will pierce her own soul too. And that too is the most painful, as all you moms know, because it means Jesus' soul will also be pierced. Nevertheless, Jesus and Simeon on this festival called Hypapante, meeting, are well met. Hail fellow well met. That was a 16th century friendly informal greeting. But it could be used to describe someone who was over the top in his effort to make friends. Stephen King in his Dark Tower series uses the expression well met to say good has come from our meeting. And a world of good, no, a world of redemption, comes from the meeting of Simeon and Jesus. His parents are there to do for him according to the law. They're going to pay the 5 shekels so Jesus' life is not devoted to destruction. All the firstborn of unclean animals were redeemed. The firstborn of the clean were not. They were offered as a sacrifice to the Lord. All the firstborn of men were redeemed. None were devoted to destruction. Now follow the text. It says, moved by the Holy Spirit, Simeon went into the temple courts just when he does. When the parents brought in the child to do for him as the custom of the law required, that is, pay the 5 shekels to redeem him, Simeon took him up in his arms, thus preventing them from redeeming him, thus devoting this firstborn of God to destruction. This fact is highlighted by the text closing with, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law, leaving out the for him. They had not given the redemption price for Jesus. They had devoted him to destruction. Had Jesus not been, the whole world would be. Had he been redeemed, we would not only wouldn't we be, but we couldn't be. Because holy Jesus was devoted to be a wrath-removing sacrifice for the sins of the world was redeemed. Simeon knows in seeing Jesus, he sees the Lord's salvation. But he also knows that saving us means the cross for Jesus. The sword of judgment that should fall on us is going to fall on him. And his mother's going to feel that pain in a way no one else can. A very old Anna also sees this. Jesus not being redeemed means he's the redeemer. So that's why she speaks about Jesus to all those looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And that's why 12 years from now, Jesus is not wrong to expect that his mother and his stepfather should know that he would be about his heavenly Father's business. They were wrong to think that he sinned by staying behind in Jerusalem at Passover. No. He belonged to in his father's house, going about the family business, which was redeeming humanity, by not just suffering a guilty death, but by living the perfect life. So Jesus stays for the full teaching that went on during Passover. He didn't leave early like his parents did. He went to Bible class. He went to midweek services. He completely was faithful in place of all of us faithless ones. Hebrews says this. Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. This festival of Hypapante meeting is a celebration of Simeon and Jesus being well met because Simeon, humanly speaking, preserved Jesus for suffering, damning, and dying on the cross for our redemption. The purification of Mary shows us Jesus was in our place from the womb. But the presentation is what really matters, as shown by our own post-communion canticle. There's literally no end to the words a congregation could say, sing, or chant after celebrating the body and blood of Jesus in their midst once more. Since the 300s, though, it's been the words Simeon sang upon first meeting Jesus. In 1996, I heard a sermon on our text in my home LCMS church. Not once did that pastor make a connection between Simeon's song and our communion. Do you? As Simeon saw with his very own eyes the Lord's salvation in the person of the baby Jesus he was holding in his arms, so we are no less to see with these eyes him in our holy communion. Understand this. The crowds in the temple saw nothing but an old guy holding an ordinary baby. Even Mary and Joseph marveled at what Simeon said about Jesus. The word translated marveled comes from the word for looking on a spectacle. Even with what they had heard and seen so far, angels, visions, worshiping shepherds, this meeting is still over the top. And so with us, while others, even other Christians, see nothing more than bread and wine here, and a sign of Jesus, a memorial of what he has done, a remembrance of his sacrifice. We see what Simeon saw. We hold what Simeon did. And we even go one better. And as with every sin offering of the Old Testament church, you don't get the benefits of it unless you eat it. So we eat his body and drink his blood, present now in our time and space. The whole divine service channels you to this point. After the words of institution, that is, after the bread is now body and the wine is now blood, the pastor places his hand on the altar and turns to the congregation and says, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." What's now on that altar enables him to make that blanket promise to the entire congregation. Luther called it a public absolution of all sinners. What do you chant right after that? The 4th century hymn, the Agnus Dei, which adores the Lamb of God now present on the altar, in the pastor's hands, in your very mouth. At the altar, the bowing, the kneeling, the bowing when we leave, they're all confessing we are now in the presence of the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Do not be surprised that so many, even among Christians, don't get this. In our text, only two old people, whom the whole world probably paid very little attention to, only those two people did. The wonder is that anyone at all gets this. It's only by the grace of God that your eyes can see the Lord's salvation in what looks like nothing else than mere bread and wine. But seeing means you can depart in peace. Only if you're not paying attention can you miss this peace. Once the Lord is in our time and space, again with forgiveness and life and salvation, the pastor says to the whole congregation, "The peace of the Lord be with you always." The hymn of adoration to the Lord, present in bread and wine, closes with the prayer, "The Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, grant us thy peace." And that prayer is answered every single table the pastor dismisses after they've eaten Jesus' body and drank his blood, is told, "Depart in peace." And if you believe that, if you receive the peace, you say, "Amen." Then the service closes with the pastor putting on you the Lord's 3,600-year-old blessing of the triune God. The Lord bless thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee. The Lord give thee peace. Simeon meeting Jesus and saving him for the destruction that means our redemption, that changes everything. It leads to peace between God and us. He's put away his wrath. He signed a peace treaty in his son's blood. This great change can be seen in a New Testament church ceremony that came from the Old Testament church ceremony of the purification of women after childbirth. In the New Testament times, it was called the churching of women. The Old Testament, we saw, required a sin offering after giving birth. The New Testament rite, not a biblical one, New Testament church rite, churching of women, is mentioned in the 600s by Augustine of Canterbury, and it's found in Anglican, Catholic, and Lutheran churches. But it's not about purifying them, making a sin offering for bringing a sinful life into the world. No, churching women is a public thanksgiving in church by women after childbirth. In the Old Testament, childbirth met with defilement to point to the need for a redeemer. Having met that redeemer, the New Testament church meets childbirth with thanksgiving. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.